Hey, $1 million worth of game listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Right!
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments. Break them.
Yeah.
Today is a good day, baby.
It's a good day.
Got the legend. And you always wanted to be, yo.
Always, you know. You can just sit back. I got this cube.
He cubed today.
Go for it, man.
I can be cube art. That's how we gonna do this.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda hot. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog.
Get up.
I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out.
Hooked it up for later as I hit the dope, thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. If I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she can fuck all night. Called up the homies, and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week fucked around and got a triple double. Freaking niggas everywhere like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Listen, man, it was a good day, man.
It's a great day, man.
Listen,
the
man,
legends
y'all,
in the building.
Listen, y'all already know what's going on, man. This ain't no ordinary thing. This is a flower day. What we doing today? We giving a legend his flowers. Listen, man, you gotta get Cube his flowers. I'm talking about this is. Decades, entertainment, music, all type of other stuff. I'm talking about basketball leads. I'm talking about you name it. He got his name on it. I'm talking about he been here since the beginning. I'm talking about the first cat to say fuck the police.
Coming I'm straight from the underground.
We got to talk about that because that was a bold move. Yeah, he was young, you know, and he was just doing his thing, man. And for y'all that don't know, O'Shea, the legendary. I'm talking about the legendary O'Shea, Doughboy, whatever you want to call him, man. But the one and only, we got to give him his flowers today. Ice Cube, and he's on $1 million worth of game.
Yeah. Yay.
Yes, legend.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, we got you, man, because it's like to us, me growing up, I wish my brother was here, rest in peace to him, you know, on the East Coast, when that Fuck the Police came out, when NWA Straight Outta Compton came out, it was like, is this real? We was just like, oh, shit. They said it was like a freedom of expression at its highest form.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Two Live Crew, y'all was the only ones that was like, we going to say what we want to say. We got a right to say what we got to say, so we going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we was the ones who consistently did it through a whole record, you know, record after record. That was our style. I think a lot of MCs was knocking on that door, though, you know. I mean, Just Ice.
Yeah, Just Ice was a legend.
if you listen to LaToya, you'll be like, man, he must be in the, you know, he must have did that, you know, from the South. He must have came from the South. Nah, Just Ice. You know, we was big fans of that Criminal Minded album. KRS, Boogie Down Productions, Scott LaRock. Shout out to D-Nice.
D-Nice on his thing.
So we was fans of that aggressive style, you know what I mean? If you like stick it in there. And but we bought, like, we had Blowfly Records and we had Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, y'all had unbelievable samples.
Yeah, we had records that were knocking on the door. We just was a group that was totally committed to just keeping it hardcore. It was reality rap when we first started, you know, and then some writer coined the phrase gangster rap, and, you know, you couldn't tell nobody you was doing reality rap after that, because everybody just coined it as gangster rap because it was so easy to put a label on it like that. So, yeah, and then we start rolling downhill, you know. It was a great time.
How much, I mean, you know, because a lot of people like to talk about, in this game, we talk about music, we talk about publishing, we talk about masters. When you left, you said, I'm out of here. You said, I wasn't, you know, you never, did you sign a contract? You never signed a contract?
I never signed a contract with NWA. Ruthless. With Ruthless, no.
So you were just going on tour doing your thing?
Yeah, well, you know, we was going off the strength, you know, for a long time. And it was cool. And then Jerry Heller came into the picture, and things changed, you know. It was Easy was learning the business. Shit, at the same time I was learning.
Absolutely.
You know, I was a youngster, though, you know, I was a teenager. I started hanging around Dre at 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, we both learning the game at the same time, but he had a teacher, you know, he had Jerry Heller, you know, kind of showing him what to do. And, you know, some of it wasn't cool, you know, we was bringing that up. And, you know, his thing was like, yo, Jerry's our manager. He said it's supposed to be like this, so this is how we should do it. And I'm like, Jerry's your manager. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's mine. Yeah. And you know, it was a process where we was just trying to figure it out, and it blew up before we could understand the game. Like, at least, you know, before everybody could really, you know, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, but it seemed like we was all learning the game at the same time.
So you ain't know nothing about publishing or none of that?
No, when you young and you coming in the game, you don't know about that shit.
No, I didn't until, you know, the coolest person at the time and the person that I would go ask for music advice was Pat Charbonnet. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Friday movie, she helped produce that movie. She was my manager in my career early on.
Mm-hmm.
When I left NWA, she became my manager. But she was the one teaching me the game behind the scenes. You know, I wanted to show her in the movie, but we just didn't have enough real estate to get it in. But she was very instrumental in me learning the game, learning what not to do. You know, whenever you start something new, first thing you learn is what not to do. Mm-hmm. So you don't make the major mistake. Because if you make that major mistake sometimes early, you can't recover.
Right.
So she was very instrumental in telling me what not to do and hooking me on with a lawyer by the name of Michael Ashburn out of the Bay. And, you know, those two helped me navigate Jerry Heller. You know, they helped me because, you know, my parents, moms and pops, you know, they didn't know nothing about the music industry. You know, they just knew this shit was keeping me out of trouble, and they was with it.
And you had talent.
I don't even know if they worried about that part. You know, they was like, you know, this is keeping him out the streets. If hanging with Lonzo and Dre and all them dudes is the answer, so be it. So, you know, they didn't know about the record business, so they wasn't somebody I could talk to about those kind of things. You know, I talked to them about the issues I was having with the group in a general way, but, you know, I needed somebody to teach me the game, and I'm thankful to Pat Charbonnet for teaching me the game.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Let me say this, Cube. Let me tell you something that you changed my fucking life.
How's that?
You don't know it because at the time, you know, it didn't mean as much to Cube as it meant to me.
How you know?
Because trust me, I know. I get a call from Clark Kent. He says,
my man,
come up to New York tonight. Ice Cube is doing a Push Rhymes Like Weight remix with Nori.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, bet, haul ass up there. I'm up there. I'm in the studio. Cube walk in. I was like, that's fucking Cube. I'm a young rapper. I'm like, coming fresh out the streets. I've just left the corner. I'm like, that's fucking Cube. He walked in. He was just regular, though. What's up? What's up? Hey, what's up, man? Nice to meet you, man. Sitting there. We just smoking it. Cube said, Gilly, don't send no more goddamn weed over here. I'm like, damn, Cube. I'll smoke Cube. In my mind, I'm like, I'll smoke Cube. Right?
That was the Branson days?
Yeah. He all pulled right up, right? So I'm sitting there, Cube do his thing, Nori do his thing. They leave. Clark Kent look over at me, he say, write a verse, put a verse on there. I'm going to put you on there as the third verse. I'm like, nigga, what? I didn't ask no questions. Turn the beat on. I lay the verse. I put the verse on there. The next day, Cube come in. Now, I'm nervous as a motherfucker because I'm like, this is fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown and not the other color. So police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit because I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me because I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold in a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. They'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in the Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape. So y'all can understand, y'all can understand where I was at. I'm like,
this fucking Cube.
Oh my God. Clark said, Cube, I want to let you hear something. He played the shit.
Your heart beating out your chest.
Cube, nigga, my heart was... Please let Cube like my shit. He played that shit. Cube heard Nori verse. He was like, oh, yes. I came on Cube said, who this? Clark said, that's Gilly. He said, man, you did that, man.
How did you, do you remember that moment, Cube?
I must have been too high. I don't
see, know. It wasn't as special. It wasn't as special to him.
I don't remember that moment.
You know what I mean? And he said, man, you did that, man. Clark said, what you want me to do? He said, leave him on there. Oh, man, that let me know. That gave me light right there.
Hey.
To say what I'm fucking doing.
Is the shit.
Is the shit. You know what I'm saying? And what's so crazy is that I see people out and about in the streets and... They'll tell me some shit that like, yo, you really affected me. You really helped me, man. I appreciate you. And it just be some regular shit to me.
Just being yourself.
Just being myself. So for Cube, it was just some regular shit to him. But to me, that shit meant everything, man. And that shit showed me that, yo, you might really got a shot with this rap shit.
Without a doubt, man. It's the same thing, you know. When I first got put on, you'd be nervous as hell, you know? Like, yeah. Dre was like rap a cappella, like right here, bust. And so, you know, you start going, you just hoping that a dude that you respect just give you the salute, you know, just give you the salute. Whether he worked with me or not, it was just, you know, hearing me rhyme and saying that I was good and him saying you the shit just took my confidence to another level.
Yes, it did.
And so I've always been down to work with new up-and-coming producers, MCs. They the shit. I'm down because, you know, I know people who they only got to have names. You know, like, you know, who produced that? Who produced this? And they name dropping, they feature dropping. You know, I've never been that. I've always been like, if it's fresh, let's do it.
Right.
If it's the shit, let's do it. I don't care what your name is.
And that's the way to be because at one time, guess what? Pharrell didn't have a name.
Yes.
Dr. Dre didn't have a name.
Yes.
He was somewhere trying to get into a room, trying to have a motherfucker listen to his beats.
Yeah.
So the Manny Freshes of the world, the Swiss Beats of the world, the Timberlands.
We all come from the same place.
At one time, none of them didn't have a name. At one time, the greatest probably rapper, actor, you do everything. You got you everywhere like broken glass. At one time, he was just wanting to be heard. So to all the youngins out there, understand when you get that opportunity to shine, when them lights come on, the stars shine when the lights come on, baby.
Straight up.
So if you're not ready to shine when them lights come on, then maybe this ain't the game for you. Because when I was given that opportunity for Cube, even though it wasn't to him what it was to me, for him to come in there and say, oh, no, leave him on there. And don't know me. I didn't bring no fucking credibility to his record. You feel what I'm saying? So for me, that was just some real shit. Like, then they went crazy pushing rhymes like Wait Remix and Philly on the radio. And so that shit just uplifted me. And at that time, man, I'm in the streets, man. Like, Wallow just went to jail. We had just got to 20 years. You feel what I'm saying? And we was running around here robbing shit and doing a bunch of dumb, goofy shit. And Cube, you really gave me an opportunity and showed me, like, damn. And that's something that I always took with me my whole life, man. And it was something that was extremely small to you. It was nothing to you, but it was everything to me. So I appreciate
you. Well, I appreciate you telling me that, man. You know, to me, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Hearing people, you know, that you affect and touch and seeing that they took it and ran with it. Man, that's all you hope for is like
right.
You pass the baton, little advice, you know, whatever you can give and people can take it and run with it and, you know, make shit a little better for themselves. You know, it's really what it's all about in this game, man, is what you give, you know, not what you get.
So you just started your online store and you're doing what you love, selling products to people you want, and the orders are coming in fast. Now, the hard part, shipping. What you need to do is you need to get with ShipStation. One thing about ShipStation, listen, they'll take care of everything you need, no matter what you're selling and where you're selling at. I'm talking about Amazon, Etsy, your own website. ShipStation funnel all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. Think about that. Even your cell phone, I'm talking about ShipStation, you can even work on your cell phone. How easy is that? And guess what? I'm talking about no matter what carrier you want to use, I want to use this carrier, I want to use that carrier, it don't even matter. UPS, I'm talking about FedEx, United States Postal Service, I'm talking about easily, I'm talking about compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. I'm talking about that's how easy it is. We're talking about ShipStation. What you need to do, you need to use code GAME. Go to ShipStation.com, click the microphone, get the top of the page, and type in GAME, G-A-M-E. And guess what? You're going to get a 60-day trial free. What are you waiting for? I'm talking about this easy shipping. And you're doing your thing. You got things happening for your website or for Amazon or whatever you're doing. But listen, use ShipStation.com, use the code GAME, and get 60 days free. What are you waiting for?
Let me ask you something. Like, I seen Jay-Z make this move. Jay-Z made this move, you know, with the liquor company, right? Mm-hmm. Sold it, got a bunch. Growing up, the first person that I seen was you and Billy Dee Williams on a malt liquor.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the first in the game was like, I never even, like, it was just the first time I ever seen, you know, only outside of that, I seen my old heads on the corner with the 40. Yeah. But when you and Billy Dee, to see it evolve to this, like, when you entered that time, St. Ives and all that,
Was it a lot of bread involved? Did they offer you equity, or they just said, we're going to pay you?
Well, no, they didn't offer any equity. It was a thing where they was, paying a fee for a service, you know. Mm-hmm. It was great. I got the deal through DJ Pooh.
DJ Pooh, shout out to DJ
Pooh. DJ Pooh, who is a co-writer of Friday.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he done produced the Gang of My Hit records.
For y'all that seen Friday don't know who DJ Pooh is,
it's Red.
Pops Trip.
Yeah,
he's a legend. My bike, yeah. Man, you know, I wouldn't even do that, but
yeah, yeah. Pooh is he's a brilliant, just one of the most brilliant dudes I know, and smart and funny and good. He, you know, he's one of them dudes that you give him anything electronic, he gonna run with it. And so, you know, DJ Pooh. I forgot the damn story I was telling.
No, by the Saint Eyes.
Saint Eyes. He was doing them with King T. King T, who, you know, legend. Is an OG in L.A. And so he was like, Cube, I'm doing these things. Shout out to Minot, which is the guy who had owned St. Ives at the time. And he was like, yo, they letting us do anything we want. I want to produce a commercial with you. I want you to do it. And, you know, to be honest, doing those St. Ives commercials and that stuff, you know, led me to hook up with Gary Gray.
F. Gary Gray.
You know, F. Gary Gray, who directed Friday and directed, you know, It Was a Good Day video. He directed Straight Outta
Compton. He's a legend.
Yeah, Gary Gray. I met him through Dub C, but
shout out to Dub C.
We was able to use Gary and do some commercials. Gary did a short film which made it where New Line accepted him as the director to Friday. So that's a long story short. But no, it was just a pay for hire thing. And we was glad to do it. You know, we wasn't even thinking about, you know, the beer or the liquor business. You know, we was just thinking about trying to be the best rappers in the world. And so it was just a great opportunity to not only do those. I got my directing debut doing the St. Ives commercial. Before I did even one of my videos. So, you know, it was just a great experience all around. And those things, you know, they had Wu-Tang, they had Biggie one of them or two. So it was a thing where it spread the brand all through the country.
The reason it was different because now the commercial was a little different from when you did it. You actually got paid. Now they do commercial liquor commercials on Instagram where they just might send somebody a package. They wasn't getting what you get. They don't get paid. They just be doing some like, that's the new commercial.
Yeah.
Like the pour a drink, whatever. But now I'm going to go to something, you know, shout out, rest in peace to Easy. Rest in peace to John Singletary. 22, coming out of USC. John Singletary said, yo, Q, what's up?
Singletary.
I meant Singletary.
My friend.
He come out of college. Yo, Q, what's up? You know, what's going on? Let's get it cracking.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy, man. I was up at the Arsenio Hall show.
Mm-hmm.
I was up there. I actually wanted to give Arsenio a little piece of my mind because he had the Two Live Crew on, but he wouldn't have Eazy-E and NWA.
It was the same thing.
Like, man, how you going to have Luke on? You ain't going to have us on. So I never saw Arsenio. You know, he was in his dressing room. Didn't even really know I was there. I was just going to try to catch him between his dressing room and the stage. So, dude walk up to me. He's an intern. He's like, yo, man, you an NWA, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you Ice Cube, huh? This is before, you know, we was, you know, famous household names kind of. So I'm like, yeah. You know, he's like, man. He said, man, I got the perfect movie for you, dude. I'm like, what? You got the perfect movie for me? I'm like, for one, I'm not an actor, so I'm looking at him like he's crazy. Because it was just unusual for somebody to walk up to a rapper talking about, I want you to act, right. You know, back then. So I was like, whatever, man, what's happening? You know, so he was just telling me about the movie. He actually wanted all of us in the movie. Mm-hmm. He wanted Easy in the movie, Dre and them. But they, I guess he said he ran into them. They didn't take him serious. At that time, I didn't take him serious. I was like, all right, man, you know, that's cool. Then I seen him again at the Bonaventure Hotel like a year later. He walked up to me saying the same stuff, you know. You're perfect, man. I'm a junior at USC, man, but dude, when I graduate, I'm gonna put you in this movie. Like, all right, man, whatever. I don't see him for a minute. I leave NWA. I go solo. I'm working with the Bomb Squad. We in LA at the Palace. The PE, they got a concert at the Palace.
For those that don't know, the Bomb Squad produced all Public Enemy.
Yes.
Everything you hear from Public Enemy came from the Bomb Squad. He said, I'm going to shoot over to connect with these East Coast boys, and we're going to put this shit together.
By the way, he thinks he's a hip-hop historian.
I am.
So. I mean, he sound like one.
I am. Thank you.
So I'm there. I'm checking out the show. I turn around, and it's John Singleton. He's like, remember me? I'm like, dude, you know, I'm seeing you every 6 months, every, you know, year and a half. Yeah, I remember you. It's like, yeah, man, I'm a senior now. USC, man. You perfect for this movie. Can I tell you about it? So I'm like, all right, tell me about it. So he telling me about the movie. I'm halfway paying attention. And I look around and everybody leave. You know, the place empty, parking lot empty. It's just me and him in there. And he asks for a ride to his dorm. I'm like, damn, nigga, you know, I just met you.
Right. Yeah. And I need a ride.
And you want a ride?
Nigga, you just told me you going to put me in a movie and I got to drop you the fuck off at your door.
I end up dropping him off, man. I'm like, man, you know, if I don't see that dude again, then, you know, he keep telling me the same story. Year later, manager Pat Charbonnet come in and say, somebody want to put you in a movie. I'm like, what? I'm not an actor, you know, so this is out of the blue. This is a lot of time in between, so I don't know what the hell she's talking about. She threw a script in front of me. She said, go read these on Thursday. It was Tuesday. I threw that script in my back seat, put the paper in my pocket, just went on to the house. So on Thursday, I show up. I pull the thing out of my pocket. I read the little lines. I go in there, and I think I'm going to see these white people in here to make this movie that they want me in. I don't even know what it's about. I'm like, I walk in, it's John there.
John's a legend.
He's sitting there saying, remember me? I said, damn, determined. You. He said, I told you. I'm going to put you in a movie. I'm getting my movie made. I want you to be in it. You ready to audition? I'm like, yeah. So I go audition, and I'm terrible. I mean, I suck. I'm reading it. I can't get the flow. And he just look at me. He's like, man. He said, everybody leave. He put everybody out. He said, Q, man, that was terrible. Did you read my script? I said, nah, I didn't read it, man. I didn't even know it was you. I was like, I thought it was some white people going to be in here. He said, man, go home, read my script, and come back. I'm going to give you one shot at this, man. I'm going to give you one more shot. I hope you better than you was today after you read this. So I go home and I read it, and it's Boys in the Hood. So I'm like, damn, this is a script about our neighborhood. This is how we grew up. What the hell? This is a movie? Is this movie worthy? I'm asking Kim, my wife. I'm like, is this movie worthy? She's like, I guess shit. They making a movie. I'm like, damn, this shit is crazy. And it's real. Read it. I'm told to read it. You know, and so I'm hype. I go back up there, and I killed audition that time. He like, oh, man, whew. He said, boy, I was going to have to fire you before you even got started.
Just the man that you just dropped off in the car to him.
Yeah, a year ago. So, long story short, man, that dude became my mentor in the game, helped me actually become a screenwriter. He helped me direct. He helped me produce. Every time I needed some advice, I would call him because he went to school. He went to all this. I didn't go to none of that stuff. So I would lean on him, and he was always gracious. And, man, I miss that dude, man. He was one of the realest on the set. Even at a young age, he wouldn't let them people tell him what to do and how to make his movie. And, you know, I just miss him.
That's what's up.
Shout out to John Singleton, man. Rest in peace.
And that's a perfect example of, you know, when you're on the way up, just watch how you treat people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Boys in the Hood is one of the greatest, to me, you know how I feel about the urban films, the Boys in the Hoods, the Juices, the Menace to Societies. They be some of the greatest work that's ever been put out because it's giving you, you know what I'm saying, a picture of what we go through, where we from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just imagine that film without Ice Cube. Like, you can't, it's almost, you can't even imagine that shit. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to him, man.
Yeah, shout out. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace to John.
Much love. And his work gonna live forever, for sure.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
I want to know something, Cube. What is the keys to marriage? Because you've been married for a long time. You know, you was one of the first rappers that I seen. Your wife used to be everywhere with you coming up.
Yeah.
Y'all was together. This is when your son was small. I'm telling you, I always seen y'all over the years. Like, what is the keys to, you know, staying married that long and just, you know, staying connected?
Respect is a big part of it. She respects me, and I respect her. And we made that pact, you know what I'm saying, that we're going to go through this life together, and we're going to have each other back, you know, through the good and through the bad, and we friends. So, you know, all that is the combination to me to make sure it worked. Because it gets rocky, you know, but when you really think about it, you know, it ain't no place I would rather be. And when she, you know, checked the list, it ain't no place she'd rather be. So no matter what we're going through, we're going to go through it together.
And we're going to get over it.
Yeah, and we're going to keep people out of our business.
Right.
You know.
And that'd be the key a lot of times.
Yeah, because, you know, you tell somebody your business, even if it's your friend, your sister, brother, mother, whatever, tell them your business, and you end up making up with your woman.
Yeah,
and then you go back around, and your friend, she's still on that shit. Uh-huh. She's still doing, you know, and just, you know, knocking that scab off the womb. And you know, if it ain't violent, then nobody else need to know. You know.
Right. And for me, keeping people out your business, because, you know, I've been with my wife for 20-something years. Keeping people out your business is the key.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because, if you in a relationship, you should never get advice from a motherfucker that's single. What the fuck, they going to tell you how to be single?
Yeah.
How to hit the club? For me, it's like, we going to keep our problems in-house. You know, we not, you ain't got to go run to your mom, because at the end of the day, you make your mom dislike me, and then we still together, and now I'm at cookouts, and there's tension between me and your mom, and me and you, we done made up.
Your mom looking at me like, I ain't fixing his plate.
Say it loud for the people in the back.
I ain't fixing his plate.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens, you know, it's that residue, it lingers, and you done made up, and... You know, if it ain't worth breaking up over, it ain't probably worth arguing over, to be honest.
Oh, that's some game right there. That's $1 million worth of game right there. And I'm telling my wife, let me tell you something. Are we breaking up? You're not going nowhere, right?
Okay.
So we ain't stop this argument.
We ain't
no need to close
the chapter right now. Hear that, baby? We ain't arguing about
it. If it ain't worth breaking up over, it probably ain't worth arguing over.
Now, Players Club, right? Deion Sanders said one time y'all was in Atlanta. Took you to Magic City.
Yeah.
He said he was the first one.
You was like, what the?
Yeah, I couldn't believe what was going on up in there.
Magic City. Shout out to Atlanta, Magic City.
I said, what the hell? They don't do this quite like this in Los Angeles. It's so, some kind of, the sheriff should be in here. Like, yeah, he was like, some kind of COVID, somebody's violating something up in here.
Right.
Did that, was that inspiring for Player Club? Like, did that give you the idea?
Well, it gave me the idea to do the movie about the clubs in the South.
Okay.
You know, the movie, to me, if a movie just got all good ingredients, it's worth doing. Like, if you look at all the ingredients that make up a movie like The Players Club, you start to say, damn, we could put this together in a comprehensive way. Right. This could make a damn good movie. Yeah. So, you know, I start off the movies, it all starts like a dinner with ingredients. Like, movie about a strip club, movie about, you know, people making money, people taking money, people in there, all the shady characters around, you know, you just start to just look at the lifestyle and say, yeah, that's movie worthy, because, you know, it's, everybody's a character,
right?
And so if a movie has the ingredients, then it's really about, okay, how do we make this a movie? You know, how does this have a beginning, middle, and end?
Right.
Three acts. You know, you put your character in some shit. No, you introduce your characters in the first act. Second act, you put them in some shit.
Hold on. To all the film directors out there.
Soak this game up.
Listen, you can't ask for no better game than this shit. All the writers, break that down one more time.
And how much time or how many pages in the script is the first act?
It's probably a minute a page, so... First act is probably 30 pages.
He giving up that. See, this is why we bring y'all me and Osborne for game. This is game.
All right.
The first thing you do.
First act is you introduce your characters to the people. Second act, you put them in some shit. Probably 30 pages, too. And the third act, you get them out the shit.
You clean the shit
60
up.
60 pages is a script.
What, 90? About 90, 100.
Oh, 30, yeah, 90.
You know, I mean, sometimes a first act may go 40 pages. You might have a script that's 120 minutes. But a comedy is usually 90 minutes, you know, about 100 pages or less.
So basically, I could go on, I'll figure, what's that thing called? HBDM? What's the movie one? Something DM? IDBM, some database. Yeah. Print out your script. Say if I print out the script to Friday. And I could just put my own thing in the format. If
yeah, you can look at a script and say, okay, damn, that's how you write a script.
Right.
You got to have this, got to have that, got to have... I mean, it's like, you know, characters, action, dialogue.
Okay.
So action, dialogue.
Yeah.
Characters.
Cut, go to the next scene. Set it up where you at. Got to set up where you at. Write that action. Do walk in, sit down, do an interview. And then you do the dialogue. What do you say? And then when he get up, you write, he get up, and you walk out.
If you were shooting another Friday, right?
Yeah.
Just off site.
Uh-huh.
Which one of us would be Craig and Day-Day? Who would be Craig and who would be Day-Day?
We know.
I think you would be Craig.
No!
Thank you! Thank you! No. See that? I'm Craig! I'm Craig!
Yes,
this is a wrap. I'm Craig.
I can't believe
this. Day-Day. Cube Gate is a wrap. I'm Craig. Yeah. This is Day-Day. It's over. I don't have to worry about this shit no more. There you go. There you go.
4-7.
Now, what I loved about that so much, right? What made you, because, you know, a lot of people say, because I was in jail, he always put, Damien. What made you come up with Damien then?
Because he really wanted to play Damien.
I mean, the character?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, Tupac.
Yeah, what made you come up with him?
I mean, you know, you got some dudes that they hard, but they've been in prison for a long time. So you never know when they come out, you know. You know what I'm saying? With those, they've been in prison a long time.
They got
a
long time. We can both agree 20 years is a long time.
Well, look, I ain't saying just because you've been in there 20 years.
No, he wasn't.
That being anything.
No, he was laying on the lawn with Sean.
No, I'm just saying.
We don't judge. You know, we don't care.
It's all different types, man. I don't want dudes who done did long time coming at my neck.
No, they ain't going to come
at you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, some dudes that's been in there a long time. They like boys over girls.
So whoa.
We already know.
I don't know about that.
We already know.
I don't know about that.
Go down.
I don't know about that.
I mean, a couple people kissed him on the neck and there, but that we don't even care about. We don't judge you on that.
No, they didn't kiss me on the neck. He bumped into me and look, in traffic. It wasn't like that.
To see a dude that big acting like that is funny.
Yeah, it was absolutely funny.
It definitely was funny.
So you know, it's a comedy. You know, we trying to push the funny.
Let me ask you a question. Out of all the sets you've been on, the movie sets, filming, producing, directing, which was your favorite set where you left and you was like, damn, I had fun really doing this movie?
Friday After Next.
And why?
Because we knew what we was doing by then, and we knew, you know, what everybody was going to give us, and then people came with, you know, they went deep into the tank to give us all kind of shit that we didn't expect. So
right.
We just spent so much time laughing on that set, just shooting it, laughing, trying to get ourselves together to go shoot some more, laugh, you know, after we get it. The stuff that, you know, Cat Williams was doing.
Was he freestyling Terry doing Cruz. That? Was he just adding stuff, plugging in?
Yeah, what we would do, you know, with the Friday movies, we write a skeleton. You know, we write, like, okay, this is what needs to come across. This is what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene.
This is the points now, we're trying to get across.
If you add a little bit of, you know what I mean? A little mm-hmm. bit of...
your own shit sauce.
Yeah, a little sugar and spice to that, go for it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But remember, we got to get back to this to mm-hmm. keep it all online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to ad-lib and do it in a controlled way where you still get all the shit you really need, but you still let somebody go off. So in the process of doing that, you know, Cat is dropping jewels. He's dropping gems. You know, he's going back. He actually was ready, focused for the part. And every time we would turn the camera on, he'd give us something better. You know what I'm saying? So we was like, this dude need to be in more of the movie. Like, you know, I'm gonna make these parts thicker. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so we just started to expand what we was gonna give him as the movie went on. So as he gets into that third act, him and Terry Crews just
mm-hmm.
take it for a minute.
I am a boy.
Yeah, you know,
Damon.
They just take it. And it's cool. You know, that's what people like about my movies, the Friday movies or Barbershop, whatever. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to harness your talent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you blow. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to step on it. I'm going to let it do what it do. And, you know, may the best man win the scene, so to speak.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Have you found yourself having to do that a lot? Like, you get to the set and you're like, damn. Because I've been on, you know, Ving Rhames, my OG, so he put me in about 10 movies. And I done seen where they done changed the script around. Oh, damn, this person is better than what we thought. We going to give you a little bit more dialogue. We going to change the script last minute. You know, you had a whole script. Now, you the next day, you get some whole other shit where it's pretty much the same, but you got more dialogue. You just said you had to do that for Cat. Have you had to do that a lot of times in the movies?
Yeah, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
You know, a movie... It's not a book. You know, you don't write it and just the words are there.
Right.
You read them as they are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a moving, growing entity. So you got to give somebody the script, but you got to allow them to do what you paid them to do. Like,
right.
I paid you to make this yours, to house it. Don't just come be a robot and say my words, but be the character. What would the fucking character do, man?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you should know the character better than me by now.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you take a part, you got to know the character better than the director. You know what I'm saying? By the time you get there, because the director's thinking about all the characters.
Right.
The writer's thinking about all the characters. You're thinking about one. You got to give him a pass. You got to mm-hmm. give him a life mm-hmm. outside of what the words say. So you can come in and be a real person and not just be these words on the page.
Right.
So you got to know your character better than the director. So sometimes you got to tell the director, nah, man, my character wouldn't even do that.
Right.
And here's why.
Right.
you know.
And you know what? On one of the script, on one of the movies that I played, and I went to the director Ryan Combs. Shout out to Ryan, man. And I told him, I was like, this is kind of watered down. Like, you know, it would probably be better if you said something to. He said, no, change it, Gilly. You're right. Change. So I understand what you're saying. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And you know, you're working with a real artist when you go to him and say, this is not real.
Right.
Or, this needs to be tailor-made for me or whatever.
Right.
Now, when you're working with a, you know, what I call a propagandist, is somebody who wants you to say it how it's written. They don't want no changes.
Right.
They just want it just how it's written.
Right.
And it's like, man, you're not trying to make a movie. You're just trying to make some propaganda or something because you don't even want flavor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because if I'm a director, you know, when I pay you to come in, I'm paying you for your personality as well.
Yes.
I'm not just paying you to come in.
Your skills.
I'm paying you. So if I'm paying Mike Epps and he's talking about the snacks, in actuality, on the paper, it might say three snacks. But when you talking about the snacks, you can name 10 of them. You feel? And then she had the lollipops with a little plastic stick to the lollipop, and you got to bite it down. And then she had the caramel popcorn. You don't have to answer. But so when you add the extras, like, okay, bam, let's shoot that over. Make sure now you got the director telling you to make sure you add in shit that he didn't even have added in. Make sure you add in the caramel popcorn. That was a good one. And lick the fingers like you did. So when you want to set to all the up and coming actors, just understand that the script is just a frame of what you're supposed to do. It's just, okay, you gotta say this because we gotta get to this point to get the movie to go on, but we need your personality. We're not just paying you to come in here and say exactly, but for me, every time I hit the set, I would do a couple takes where I say what they wanted me to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, now I'm going to do a take where I'm going to add my extras in. And
yes,
if you
that's
wanna,
how you do it.
If you want to take the shit with you just wanted me to say that, that's cool. If you want to take something from what I'm doing over here and add the extras in, that's cool as well.
Yeah, you know, we usually tell them, you know, give us some how it's written and then, you know, go for it, man. Get busy. Do you.
Right.
And then we, you know, we'll take a mixture of both. Depends on the flow of the scene, how it's working. And, you know, it's all too, you know, it's not only how you shoot it, but it's how you edit it
as well.
You know, a movie can be, it can be fucked up in a few different points. Of course, in the writing of the script. Like, I never go in with a script that's not tight already and funny. Like, the scripts are already funny and tight. Or them dudes wouldn't even agree to do the movie.
Right.
So, but when they add that little extra to it, that's where the magic, you know, happens outside of what's written. So, you know, that's what is, you know, you got to really get it in and put in that extra work. Get it how it's written and then let them go for it and have fun. That way your actors don't feel like robots. You know, you're not paying like a program. You're not programming somebody. You want them to do what they do.
Right.
It's like the plumber.
Right.
Like you tell them to come in and say, man, the sink is leaking. That's all you say. But use your talent to fix. Don't just listen to me because I ain't going to tell you how to fix the shit.
Right.
Just, you know, I'm telling you what's wrong. You go in there and use your talent and shit, I'll pay you.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I just want to ask you a question about Easy. That was my guy.
Yeah.
I love Easy. He you know, he understood personality. He understood marketing.
Yes.
Now, Easy once paid thousands of dollars to go to a Republican Party dinner in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. The thousands of dollars that he paid got millions of dollars worth of marketing. The marketing was unmatched. What is a story about Easy that nobody know, man? A good moment that you had with Easy, man.
Oh damn, that was a that was a flip. You know, Easy. Yeah, you know, more than just a moment, because we had a lot of moments.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of guy he was just a guy that was extremely smart, extremely funny. And, you know, he had a dark sense of humor, straight up. You know, he would laugh at some of the shit you'd be like, damn, man. You know, damn, E.
Like, we're not supposed to be laughing at that shit.
Yeah, you ain't supposed to laugh at that, I don't think. And so he was the, I guess, the batteries in our back. You know what I'm saying? As far as this is the direction we need to go. Like, stop trying to rap like these New York rappers, man. You're not a New York rapper. It ain't going to work. Rap about the shit that's going on around here. And we had already started it, but it was just for fun.
Yeah.
Like, we was doing mixtapes. Me and Dre, we would do tapes and talk about all kind of shit going on up and down the street. But we was like, ain't nobody going to buy that on a record. And Easy was like, no, that shit y'all trying to make as records, nobody gonna buy. This shit right here y'all doing, everybody gonna buy it. And we was like, how they even gonna find it? Because it's so dirty. How you gonna play it on the radio? You know, you was like, no radio, no video. How anybody gonna even know this record is even here? He was like, man, leave that up to me. You know what I mean? These are the kind of records we need to be doing. And to see that, to have that vision, to not be in the industry at all, just to know that this is going to work. And
that raw street shit. You
yeah, said. Just he just knew that's our angle. You know, everything else we doing is bullshit. And he would say it.
Yeah.
He was like, man, I don't want these kind of records on Rufus. And then he signed JJ Fad with Supersonic.
Supersonic.
I would go to him. I was like, nigga, I thought you didn't want these kind of records.
I'm somebody like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, but this a hit.
That was it.
This a hit.
Supersonic
he
was
said,
a hit.
He said JJ Fad went gold. Yes. Y'all ain't win shit yet. So I'm like,
yeah, they was the shit.
I'm like, okay. All right.
Nigga said, so, wait, hold the fuck up. Hey, I thought you said it. No, this shit hot.
Yeah, it's hot, man. We you know, it gotta go.
And he so, like, I can't see Cube or the record talking about, I'm a chama lama, come a lama lama. He like, no, that's not for you. It's for them, though.
Yeah.
And this shit's hot, but that's not for you.
Yeah, exactly. And he was, to me, just as instrumental as Berry Gordy was at Motown, like at bringing it together, as George Clinton is with P-Funk.
Right.
He is the ringmaster. Right. You know, he brings it all together and you know, had us revolving around, you know, his universe. And, you know, then we became a group. We were an all-star group. NWA is considered an all-star group because
yes.
You had the best of everybody we was dealing with at the time.
Yeah, Rand, Yella.
Making Andre, one group.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We was all from different other groups, and we all came together like the Super Friends or some shit. And
what's the truth then? They used to be like, Cube be writing 80% of that shit. Cube wrote.
Not 80%. That's a bit much. You got to give some credit to DLC. DLC done penned a lot of Easy's hits.
Oh, okay.
And MC Ren. So between us three, we got it done.
Oh, okay.
Dre would write a little bit, but he was more on the producing tip.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, between. Me and DLC, I mean, DLC is a monster, beast. Mm-hmm. At the time, you know, it was like, you know, he was setting benchmarks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt like I was setting benchmarks too. So, absolutely. You know, it was kind of like, who gonna write the best song for Easy and
right.
shit, you know, especially after, you know, on that Easy Does It album,
yeah, that
you
was
know,
my shit.
DLC, he penned Culture. A lot of that album mm-hmm. right there.
Was
him and Ren.
Did the competition of all of y'all being in the room and you knew that DLC had that pen, you knew that Ren was going, did that push y'all to be great like that. Yeah. Like I want to be. I want to have the best song. I want to be.
Hell yeah, because you wouldn't be on the record. I mean, straight up, he tell you, this shit ain't hot. I'm pulling you off. I'm erasing your 16 if it ain't hot. So,
you be like, did they ever tell you you was coming off a record?
No, I never came off a record.
You tell me.
Now, you know
I never came off a record.
You know what I find interesting?
But they didn't put me on a record.
What?
It's not like I came off a record, but it was a record that I wasn't invited to.
And you wanted to be on that one.
I wanted to be on Compton's In the House.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So you was a little pissed.
I was a little pissed.
Who the fuck made the calls?
Yeah. And you know, I'm not born and raised in Compton. You know what I mean?
But that
I'm
was a something South you wanted Central to be a part of. Dude,
and they like, nah, you're not born and raised. Born and raised in Compton. I'm like,
but
fuck you know what? Y'all.
But Q, they had a point though, Q.
They had a point. You know, I wasn't gonna say that part.
So when you was
But
like,
you was on Straight Out of Compton.
Cause we was coming. We was trying to.
No, it was Key easy. Versus so hot. Then like, fuck it, you from Compton today?
I mean,
you got a Compton
once we
day
did
pass.
The record, once we did the record, pass. Once we did the record, you know, all that went to the wayside. But the Compton record came out before we did Straight Out of Compton, and so yeah, they was like, nah, this just me and Ren.
They was like, should we let Cube on this motherfucking Straight Outta Compton? Cube, what a motherfucker. Straight Outta Compton. Crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube from the gang called Niggas With Attitudes. No, he from Compton.
No, I started that record off. I kicked it off.
You know what else you
killed? They had to come behind me.
One of my things you killed, a lot of people probably don't know about it, was on DOC Grand Finale.
Yeah.
You came in and you went the fuck off on that
one.
Now.
That's an NWA record.
Yeah, that's a real. Yeah, that's at the end. And that was powerful. Now. Tell me this. Back in the day, y'all crossed over like this, but y'all crossed over and still was accepted by the hood. Y'all still stayed hood.
Yeah.
Even though majority of the people that was in them crowds was white folks. Mm-hmm. Majority of the people that ran that shit up the charts with no radio play was white folks. How is it that y'all was able, because today, that shit ain't happening. I'm seeing artists cross over and they done in the hood be like, all right, you crossed over. And it, y'all still was able to stay connected to the bottom. Y'all had the cheers and y'all had the support, undeniable support from the bottom, but yet most of y'all records was being bought and arenas was being sold out by white people, which is the crossover. So what was the key to staying, like to be able to cross all the way over, sell millions of records and still be relevant and have the extreme support from the hood that I don't see that today?
I think it was a situation where everybody could see that people crossed over to us.
Okay. You
know, it wasn't like we was making a crossover record.
Okay.
It was like people were coming and dealing with us on our terms. And so we didn't have to go anywhere. You know what I mean? We just stayed where we was, stayed planted, and everything kind of started to revolve around us. You know, I mean, look at how people dress before Eazy-E and then how people start dressing after Eazy. Right. You know, he brought in all the baggy clothes and all that crazy stuff, you know. And if you look at the 90s, you know, everybody's clothes was big. But that's from Eazy-E. If you look at how he wore his clothes and then how hip-hop started to evolve, it's after his pattern. You know, we wore it, but every now and then he wore it every day.
Yeah.
So, it's just a thing where, you know, that dude was super influential. And everybody wanted to be like Eazy-E at the time or NWA. There's a few other groups out there doing it, but a lot of people just kind of crossed over to us. You know, a lot of people blamed us for messing hip hop up, you know, I mean, turning it where, you know, like all this cussing didn't happen before NWA. But they gotta understand we was just doing our own style. We was doing what we felt was in our lane. And back then everybody stayed in their lane. Mm-hmm. Everybody had their way of presenting hip hop that was accepted, you know, from, you know, Biz Markie to, you know, De La Soul to
Tribe Called Quest,
Tribe,
Ultra Magnetic.
everybody had their own identity. And then slowly but surely, it just seemed like hip hop started to mirror that NWA identity.
Because it was so raw. It was so gritty. It was so in your face. It was so unapologetic. I don't give a fuck what y'all think. And people love that shit. It was actually, it was almost like this. All the music that was coming out around that time was on some superhero shit. And then NWA came in and was the villain. Like, they was the bad guy. They was the Joker. They was the people that didn't give a fuck. And people gravitated to that shit. I remember being 12, 13 years old playing that shit. We actually got into a car accident. My cousin Rais crashed into somebody on JFK, 17th and JFK Boulevard playing NWA. I'm a motherfucking nigga with it. I let the good die young, so it makes me young and bad. Putting ass whippings on the niggas that the poof, crash. I'm
bang the fuck out. But you know why, like, though, Cube? America loved wrong. Wrong is king. Nothing is worshipped more than wrong. It was built off wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong is the shit. Wrong, you know, fill up, give is job security to a lot of correctional officers, police. Wrong fill up jails. We love the bad guy. We love Goodfellas, Godfather, Scarface. That's why wrong is the shit in America. That's why everybody that was in the idea of, oh, I can look at them in the ghetto, see them doing crazy shit, I ain't got to be there. So I could watch it. It's cool. I could subscribe to it. I could buy that tape and listen to it. And the fact of getting your tape and playing it when their parents wasn't in the house or listening to it in their Walkman, the sneaky shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they love. And that's why y'all won.
I mean, that's what attracted me to Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy.
Paul Mooney shit, all them records.
All the great dirty comedians. Stuff. Red Fox.
Super dirty.
So I definitely understand that appeal. Definitely understand what happened. But I don't see how we could be to blame for
it. I know, yeah.
You know, it's like we was doing what we do. And so, you know, setting a trend in a lot of ways. It wasn't even a trend we set because Ice-T came before us. Schoolie D. King T. Yeah.
He just throwing names out there. He's trying to show you he's a hip-hop.
No, Schoolie D.
Because when Six in the Morning came
looking
out.
Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time.
Chibi, all that shit. Yeah. Six in the Morning came out. Ice. Yeah. Ice fucked them up with six in the morning.
Six in the morning is a version of PSK.
Yes.
So, you know, it ain't like we the first. So, you know, I was always like, damn, you know, we ain't the ones that did it.
The gangster, hold up. Being as though Schoolie came out before Ice, right?
Before Just Ice?
No, Ice-T.
Yeah.
Six, so... You got PSK, you got Saturday, all that shit, that gangster shit that Schoolie was talking. So could you say that gangster shit started in the East?
I can't say that because you had people like Mixmaster Spade doing tapes.
He going back.
You know what I mean?
You don't know Mixmaster Spade, huh?
No,
you
know, I don't know him.
Yeah, Mixmaster Spade.
He got me with that one.
You know, they was doing tapes talking about the street and the hood. Yeah. We just didn't think we could make a record like that. And we already felt like coming from the West Coast – that we had to, you know, climb the mountain a little higher because, you know, people was frowning upon that. You know, New York was the Mecca, is the Mecca. And so it's like, you know, we was already trying to figure it out, like what we need to do to break through. And in a way, we were almost not worried about getting into mainstream hip hop. Right. We felt like we was never going to be Run DMC.
Right.
We was never going to be Eric B and Rakim. Right. Like EPMD. Like these are Slick Rick.
Right. I mean,
upper echelon of hip hop. You know, we was West Coast, you know, rappers. So we just decided like, well, let's just be hood stars. Like people going to love the shit out of us in LA. Let's just leave it right there. Let's just make sure they love us in LA.
Yeah.
And once we broke it down to that, then we blew up. then it was like, boom, this is our style. And we didn't even know it was going to do that. We just felt like we'd do some shows up and down California. We'd be all right.
And that shit just exploded.
This episode of $1 Million Worth of Game is also brought to you by Roman Deli. One thing about Roman Deli, they're easy to swallow pill. They tested so many different shapes and sizes and is available. I'm talking about available in a monthly subscription for $35 a month, or you can save with a quarter subscription of $87. This is a really easy way to support physical activity, brain health, your immune system, and heart health. No prescription required. I'm talking about you don't need no prescription. The Roman Deli is coated with a slick coating of natural peppermint oil, so there is no unpleasant aftertaste. Remember, supplements are not a replacement for a healthy diet, exercise, good sleep. You still got to eat your greens and get your steps in. This statement must, I'm talking about, listen, let me tell you something. One thing about this statement has not been evaluated. So you must understand, the statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. So start your day off right with $15 off. I'm talking about $15 off your first order of Roman Deli. What you need to do is you need to go to getroman.com/daily-multivitamin. That's getroman.com/daily-multivitamin and get $15 off your first order.
Yeah. Now, before you get out of here, I want to ask you.
Let me say this real quick, before you get into asking that, because you do all this shit, movies, you know, television, you did everything, all music, everything. Now you got the big three, and you working on the album for you, 40 Short, Snoop. Y'all got some
Mount
shit.
Westmore, yeah.
Mount Westmore. And the big three. Y'all, you should have called me and Gilly for the big. We could have been the big two.
Nah. Y'all don't want none of that.
Damn,
come to a game. Check it out. Check it out up close. Check it out up close, man. You don't want that. You don't want none of that. Trust
me. I might want some, but he don't want
that. Just imagine me and him, $1 million worth of game, all that smoke. Because I post, Matt Barnes up a couple times. I did him dirty.
Yeah.
And then Steve Jacks, he get it too. But me and him against them two and Big Two, you know.
Nah, man.
How did that come about?
Just as a fan, you know, seeing Kobe score 60 points in his last game, and I'm like, man, it ain't nowhere we could see this dude play no more. That's a problem.
Yes,
I mean, I'll pay money. Whatever, I know he playing in some gym around here, man. Where's it at? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That was a good
idea. And I'm like, you know what? There's probably a lot of dudes that be playing around the city that people want to see, man. Why they ain't playing in front of nobody? You know. Then I start thinking about, like, how could that happen? I start thinking about 3-on-3. Like, they're doing a lot of amateur shit with it, but it hasn't been elevated to the pro level. Why not? Why are they playing in the parking lot and not playing in the arena with the people and the names you know?
Right.
And nobody had an answer. So I'm like, brain started going. I got with my partner, Jeff. You know, he crazy. And we both been just mad scientists, you know, coming up with shit. And so we start brainstorming. Argued for a year about rules and how the league should be set up, and should be this, it should be that, man. It's like, I hate free throws, man. How do we solve that? Mm-hmm. One free throw for the points, you know? Mm-hmm. They taking a three-pointer, shoot. The shot should be a three-pointer. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck want to see three free throws? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, so just started to say, man, you know what? Then we came with the four-point circle. It's like, man, this is something I want to see, because everybody know the NBA should have a 4-point something by now. Right. You know, niggas are shooting from the parking lot.
Logo Loon.
Yeah, so I'm like, this could work. And then when you start getting people like Dr. J, we got Allen Iverson year one, interested in, like, Dr. J, like, I want to be a coach. Allen Iverson, like, I want to play. Like, oh, damn. This could work. You know, Chauncey Billups, Kenyon Martin was the first guy we got to actually sign a contract. And we just ain't never looked back. We just felt like it was a void in the market. It's boring in the summer if you're not a baseball fan.
Oh, my God. You go soccer through them 3 months with no sports. Yeah. Oh, my
preseason
God.
Football is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't even play the whole game. You know, you can only watch a quarter or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, this summer there's a void. Let's fill that void and let's have a mini all-star game to go around city to city and putting on a show.
Right. Before you get out of here, I just need the legend, Ice Cube's top five rappers of all time.
Lord have mercy, man.
And then we can let you go.
Damn. Top five. That's hard, man. You know, I got a top.
Yeah, that's what we asked over here. We asked the
top
hard 15. Questions over here.
Top 15.
Yeah. I go back to guys who set the bar.
Come on.
So, you know, one of my first greatest, I'm going to say, is Melly Mel.
That's one.
Another great.
The Message.
Yeah, man. The Message. Is something.
Broken glass everywhere. People piss. I ain't going to go into that.
Another great MC, I believe, who taught everybody that they needed to bring more style to their rhymes. KRS-One.
Two.
You know, another guy that is my favorite of all time, who introduced... he introduced consciousness on another level into rap, and never wavered. And I get that to Chuck D.
Oh, Chuck D, legend.
You know, oh,
another one is another trendsetter who, you know, is one of my OGs, who helped the West Coast get on the map. Ice-T. And, you know, after that, man, it's a few, man. Damn. I mean, Snoop is one of my favorite rappers of all time.
Oh, five.
But so is Biggie, so is six, Jay-Z, so seven, is Nas.
Eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we got rappers like Raz Kaz on the West Coast. That's crazy.
Miami Life, with any price.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that could spit Eminem.
Ten.
One of the best that ever touched the mic.
Slim Shady.
Yeah. Lil Wayne, god damn.
Wheezy.
11.
Lil Wayne is nasty with it. And, you know... It's a few more out there that's crazy that I probably ain't. Oh, Black Thought.
12.
Philly.
Black Thought is.
Yes. Tyreek.
Monster. Lord have mercy. I hate to leave out anybody. Did I say Jay-Z?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. You know. Yeah.
You man. Only got two more.
Damn. Let me go backwards then, man. If I got two more, man, I'm going to say Slick Rick.
You said Slick already.
Did I say Slick Rick?
Yeah. He say Slick.
He did? Oh, okay. That's 14 then.
Slick Rick. Damn.
Who's the lucky 15th?
Shit.
That was hard. We got Cube.
Yeah,
we got
him. I know.
Got the legend.
Got the legend thinking.
Man, I'm going to just leave that last one blank, man, for everybody who...
That's a smart choice.
No, I like they shit.
That's a smart choice. So anybody come in, you ain't put me in the top 15.
Yes,
nigga,
I did.
You was 15th. Nigga, I couldn't remember you, but I knew.
It's more than that, man. You know, it's so many great MCs, man. It's, you know, that list don't mean nothing, man. You know, it's like, it's too many to name, to be honest.
Well, man, we just want to appreciate you for coming through, man. You know, giving $1 million worth of game fans and followers and,
yes,
you know, an opportunity to kick it with the legend and get some game to all the actors and the screenwriters. And we just want to tell you we appreciate you, man. Yeah.
Anytime, man. I appreciate y'all too, man.
Thanks. Much love, man.
Thanks for inviting me down. You know, I wouldn't have missed this for the world, man. So You know, y'all out here on this coast, so I had to come show y'all some love. You know?
Me on the West Side. Yeah. And it's just like that.
Right.